Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for coming center stage tonight. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. That was Talib Kweli with The Beautiful Struggle, and I really struggled this week to figure out which song I was going to start tonight off with, and that seemed the most appropriate. For those of you who are not into rap, that may have seemed like that song was most appropriate because I do wonder if it's about a revolution. And I say that because this week I spent a lot of time preparing for this show, and I can't say that I came to the conclusion that it was or it wasn't, but I am left with many questions. I reached out to many of the groups that are involved in this Occupy Wall Street, and I must admit, after doing so, I found out that there was a blackout in many senses to the media. I had heard for weeks, and I think this began September 17th, I believe is when the movement started. And since then, I've heard the news media is not picking up their story. Nobody is listening to the people on Occupy Wall Street or the people that were occupying Wall Street. Well, I must admit tonight, y'all, I didn't find that to be the case. And I want to tell you all some of the groups that I reached out to bring them on the panel tonight just to tell us what's going on so that you all understand. I reached out to as many people as I thought would be relevant in this discussion. I reached out to Working Families Party. They are part of the group that is involved down there. They're in the grassroots part of this movement. I talked with Adbusters. I spoke with Small Story Visuals. They did a documentary of a young man who was very passionate about what he thought about what was going on down there. He did a documentary, and it was fascinating how intelligent and articulate this young man was as he told us what he thought about the reason he was there. And it was so moving that I thought, let me find that young man, let me find him and have him brought on the show and bring him on the show so that he can tell us what he said on that documentary. No such luck, y'all. I also reached out to Occupy Wall Street website, the parents for Occupy Wall Street. I reached out to attorney Michael Ratner, who was with the Center for Constitutional Rights. He was the attorney that was fighting with them on this eviction issue with Zuccotti Park down there. That, and I also reached out to Van Jones, who was down there speaking. I tell y'all, I spent a lot of time trying to find y'all panels, a panel for this discussion tonight, because I thought we really needed to hear from those people who are down there fighting in this struggle. But no one was willing to talk, which, and I've been doing this for a minute, y'all. That's the first time this has ever happened. Typically, if I invite five people, at least four will come, if not all five. So that I found very strange. So let me give you a little background on what Occupy Wall Street is all about. Like I said, this movement started September 17, 2011. Per Wikipedia, and I'm just going to go there as opposed to someplace else, that's just where I decided to get it from. Occupy Wall Street is an ongoing series of demonstrations in New York City based in Zuccotti Park, formerly Plaza Park, I'm getting tongue-tied. The protest was originally called for by the Canadian activist group Adbusters, who we reached out to. Some compared the activity to the Arab Spring movement, particularly the Tahrir Square protest in Cairo, which initiated the 2011 Egyptian Revolution and the Spanish Indignance. The participants of the event are mainly protesting against social and economic inequality, corporate greed, and the influence of corporate money and lobbyists on government, among other concerns. Well, when we get to that point, we say other concerns. Well, there's a lot of things down there. You name it. There's probably somebody down there protesting against it, which I find which makes their struggle confusing, because if you have 20 issues that you're bringing at one time, and I love somebody who's part of the movement, like I said, to call in and explain this to us, but if you make a demand and you say, we want this one thing fixed or else, then if you're likely to bring together 20,000 people, if you're lucky enough to bring together 20,000 people to agree with what you're doing, then more than likely you're going to get that demand met. However, if you bring together 20,000 people and you all have 20 different demands, sometimes that makes it hard for you all to get a resolution to your cause. And so I think that's what I'm seeing that's odd with this particular movement. There's so many things that they have on the table, at one time that I would think it'd be almost impossible for them to get our government to do all of these things. I mean, if you're protesting against health care, and then you're also protesting against high unemployment, and then you have an issue with school budgets being slashed, and then you're talking about so many other things all at the same time, I think it takes away from your movement. And that was one of the issues that I wanted to speak with them about tonight. What is your main purpose for being down there? Because they say, some say the high home foreclosure rates, lack of jobs, insufficient health care. Well, if you have all of these issues on the table at one time, I wonder if you're going to be effective in your movement. Because at the end of the day, any one of these issues are big issues. And if you put 20 or 30 issues on the table, if everyone that's down there is down there for a different reason, sometimes you wonder if there will ever be a resolution. And I spoke to Adbusters today. I spoke with Lauren down there in Adbusters. And when I say down there, I guess I should say over there, because they're in Canada, y'all. And Adbusters told me that they were the original organizers of Occupy Wall Street. And they said it started out as a July 13, 2011 email blast. And they said they sent it to 90,000-plus people. And they told people that they wanted to occupy Wall Street, to bring your tents, and just basically they just put the information out there, and they were surprised that the movement has grown to what it has. Adbusters, they say, is a media magazine that's been around since 1989. So I asked her, you know, specifically, you know, were they involved right now? Were they the leaders of the of the march right now, of the protest? And basically she says no, you know, they just were the ones that initiated it, but there are no clear leaders in this thing right now. Well, I don't know if I really believe that, because I can't believe a movement has grown to this size without there being a clear leader somewhere. So that's going to be up for debate. But we're going to bring on Ms. Thelma Tormina, and she's with the 9 to 12 group out of Houston. And she's going to talk with me tonight about what she knows. Thelma was the first person who told me about this. And I will be honest with you all, I'm going to put something on the air that I have not mentioned to anyone. When Thelma first told me this, I had not heard of it, and I asked everyone that I knew. Now, if y'all happen not to know, I'm African-American. So I asked every other black person I knew, had they heard about Occupy Wall Street? And absolutely 100% of the people that I asked had never heard of Occupy Wall Street. And most of them thought I had gotten bad information. And I questioned it, but for some reason, the way Thelma told me, it was so matter-of-factly, I really knew that what she told me that day, it was something to it. So we're going to introduce Thelma at this time. Good evening, Thelma. How are you?
Hi, Carrie. Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm struggling tonight.
I know you are, hon.
So with this issue, because I'm so concerned as to why basically this group is has grown to the size that they are, yet they are not talking to the media the way that they well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say they're not talking to it. They're talking to certain members of the media, but overall, they're saying that the media is blacking them out. Well, I cannot totally agree with that as of tonight, because I did, as I said, reach out to them multiple times this week and tried as many avenues as I could to get some of them to come on the panel. So I question that. But Thelma, you were the first person who told me about this. When you told me about Occupy Wall Street, what did you tell me?
I told you that on September 17th that they were going to be holding what was called at the time a day of rage.
Mm-hmm. That's what you called
and,
it.
Yes. And then in October, we knew that it was going to switch and become Occupy Wall Street. It's kind of intertwined and all the same thing. But even if you look at Adbusters and what they're trying to create here, is the same thing as Tahrir Square, which I don't know about you, but I don't really want that to happen in America.
So you think it's about a revolution?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
It's definitely about a revolution.
Wow.
The majority of the people that are there, if you watch the media, but not necessarily the main street media, if you watch stuff that's on the internet and you watch cable shows, or not cable shows, but internet shows that are out there, you will find the information on who these people are and what they're actually doing. But there are two sides to the coin.
Okay.
One side of the coin is actual revolutionaries who, you and I have talked about this before. In our younger years, I think we all tend to hope that there's a way to create a utopia on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But as you get older, you realize that you can't, because every individual is different. Every individual is looking for something else out of life. So you can't fulfill someone else's dreams if their dreams aren't your dreams, if you're trying to do everything to make everyone happy. It's not possible. So you have that side of it, who the younger generation, who really think they're working towards a utopia on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also have anarchists that are involved. And anarchists have been circulating around the Tea Parties for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the ones who really would like to see no government, if possible. But if that's not possible, then they want the most limited government possible, which would mean kind of like what our founders had before they actually came up with the Constitution. It was so loose that it was so close to anarchy that there weren't enough laws to keep, let's say, bad people in line, because there are good and bad people in this world.
But
and,
if we had anarchy, we would have total lawlessness.
Yes, and total chaos. But there are some people who would like to see that. And what the end goal here is to create such chaos in our country that they actually create a revolution, so to speak, so that it gets so chaotic in our world, in our everyday life, that the American public begs for somebody to come in and take control, to get control of our streets. And that's when the government will come in and they will decide how they're going to handle everything to put everything in order.
So
well,
you mean like martial law?
Yes.
Wow.
And in studying history, if you study history and you study it way back, you will see that every time this is tried, you will end up with a dictatorial society in one way or another, and you will lose your freedoms over it. You will not gain any. It isn't possible.
Okay, so for those who's wanting to do this, I guess I don't get why now. Why all of a sudden would they want to take us there? Why?
Because the door has opened for them. They have. There have been people on the face of the earth forever who think they know best. They think they know what's better for you, what's better for me, and that by telling us what to do and when to do it, that they will build a better society. And as I said, we're all individuals, and I think America and Americans know better than most that the freedoms we have are rare. And you try to take those freedoms away, and we aren't really going to want to give them up. And
well, let me ask this, and I agree with you. If we have a situation like what happened in Tahrir Square, that was just like, I mean, really like an uprising, but I really question whether something like that could have taken place had there not been some provocateurs put in place to set that thing off. So do you think that there were people here that set this off, that this just isn't a group of hippies that got together and decided that they wanted to protest something?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh.
Yeah. This is a planned uprising. It isn't just something spontaneous where somebody came up with the idea to go down and protest at Wall Street because they didn't like what the banks had done or whatever. This isn't just a homegrown grassroots movement like Nancy Pelosi and even Barack Obama and Al Sharpton and all the rest would like you to believe. This has been planned out, and you should kind of be able to see that just by what Adbusters told you. If they started an effort to get this to come to a crescendo in September, then obviously somebody was planning this ahead of time. It didn't just spontaneously happen. They would like to say that the Tea Parties aren't grassroots, that somehow or another, because quite honestly, on the Marxist side of the aisle, they see things the way that they do things, and I really believe that they can't see that the American public would really stand so strong to fight for their freedoms. And I don't think they understand that this grassroots movement is a true grassroots movement. I don't belong to the Tea Party, per se. I agree with them. Mm-hmm. The 912 group is different. We focus on education, making people aware of what is going on in our country at the current time, and we focus on our children and making sure they know the history of this nation.
Well, how long are you thinking that this grassroots, organization was put together to set up this Occupy Wall Street? I mean, how long are you talking? You mean like before September? They told me July 13th. You mean before July 13th when they originally said? You think it's been planned longer than that?
Yeah, they've been working on this. Like I said, the progressives have been working on this for decades. The reason for the timing is because, and most people don't want to hear this, but our current administration is surrounded by Marxists, communists, and people who would like to take control of everything. They do not want we the people to have our voice any longer.
So that
they
1%, that
decision.
Elitist group that they're talking about.
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's absolutely right, because they believe they know better than we do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people do know better than I do, but not to the point where they know best for the entire world or the entire planet. And this is their opening. They have a chance to get what they want, and they're using the youth of this nation, who really have been, in a way, taught and brainwashed in the Marxist philosophy in our school system, and it's been happening for a very long time. They have hidden true history from our youth, and a lot of these people that are down on Wall Street are young people that are in college. You also have older people that are true communists, and they believe in the communist system. They believe that the government should take care of everyone. They don't believe in individual rights as far as it goes where you're responsible for anything. They want to be able to just have everything and do nothing for it. And they think society should take care of them.
So
it's been building, and this whole idea, if you look back over this last year, this last 9 months, first of all, you had everything that happened over in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same idea here. It's going on in Europe. If you watch Europe, the riots have gone on over there. They're more violent than what we have right now. But the real hope in the long run is that what happens is that there's chaos with the group that is there now. And then you will have a gentleman by the name of Van Jones swing in. And
I called Van Jones, y'all. I told you and invited him. But anyway, he's going to do what?
He'll come in and he'll look like the calming factor in the whole situation.
Wow.
And then his group will come in along with him to try to calm things down and persuade the American public that an entire new system is needed because there is such chaos going on. And it is just a situation where you truly have an uprising that's coming. And the American public just needs to be aware that it's coming, prepare for it, and they've been hoping that they could get a reaction out of the normal, everyday American to get us angry enough over the things that they've done where we would be the ones to cause the chaos. But we don't cause the chaos because we're too busy with our own lives and we're too busy trying to make a living.
Well, let me ask you this, Selma. And Selma kind of skated over this real easy. She glided over it, but I'm going to go back to it. When you first told me about this protest, you said, you called it, like you said back then, Day of Rage. You
yep.
said that there were certain groups that were not invited. Who were those groups?
That were not invited?
Well, let me back up then. I'm sorry, there were certain groups that were organized. Who were those groups?
Yes, they're... Wow, now you're catching me off guard a little bit.
The communists?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. The communists, the Marxists, the socialists, the unions. And that's not to say your everyday average union worker is planning these things, but the hierarchy in the unions are planning it. But if the union people, the actual workers, stop and think about it, if they break this system,
mm-hmm.
how in the world are they ever going to collect on their pensions? If they break this system and they crash it, which is exactly what they're trying to do monetarily,
mm-hmm.
every one of those pensions will disappear. And then what? Then what? The government's going
to give you
X amount of dollars a month?
How much?
X amount, however much. I mean, are they going to decide that we're all going to get, what, $1,000 a month, $1,500 a month to live on?
Oh, yeah.
And then what? They're going to control the rent of the buildings that they're now going to own because we don't have enough money in our everyday check to be able to pay for it?
Why would the unions want to be part of this protest? Why would they want this protest to go forward?
Well, the sad truth of the matter is the union individuals themselves, I don't believe do.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they're being used, and most people do believe they're being used, and that if they stopped and thought about it long enough, which none of these instigators are giving anybody time to think,
mm-hmm.
but if they thought about it long enough, they would realize that the monetary system would fall. If they are successful with their plans, it would fall. And then they would not have the money and the pensions to be able to pay these people. The unions are running out of money. The pensions are running out of money.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to find someone to hang it on. They can't take the blame themselves. And it's the hierarchy in the unions. It's not your average union worker that wants to see America fall. It's the unions themselves because they truly, truly believe in the communist or the Marxist way. They truly think they can, and this is the most scary part about the whole thing, that these people truly believe that they can create a utopia on Earth.
Now, let me ask you.
Do anything to make it happen.
Do you believe that these protesters are being paid to be down there, or do you think these are just people who are disgruntled and just went down there on their own?
Some of them are being paid. I mean, I can't say for sure the initial ones that went down there, but it's been scrubbed from the internet now, but there were advertisements on Craigslist and other places advertising that if you were willing to go down and occupy Wall Street or occupy Houston or wherever, that they would pay you somewhere between $300 and $600 a week for you to do so.
Wow.
And so maybe the initial ones were paid and then they quit doing it. I don't know. Because now it's kind of like a feeding frenzy where a lot of people are going down because they're curious and they want to see. A lot of people are just going down because they think it's the end thing to do. And a lot of people are just being crazy and just crazy. It's
what do you think? Who do you think is paying you? I mean, who's paying these people?
Well, my thoughts are that most of the money is probably coming from a lot of the George Soros foundations, like the Tide Foundation, Center for American Progress. Lord knows, it could be any number. There's so many of his left organizations that he funnels money into. Could be any of them. It's a lot of work to try to trace it back, but eventually someone will. The sad fact about it is that most revolutionaries don't realize really what they've done until it's gone too far and it's too late. And by that time, it's really too late. They don't, unless they study history, they don't understand that the ones who are the most active are usually the first ones to disappear because they're a threat, because they helped once in an uprising, and they're worried, you know, the elites will be worried that they'll do it again. It's proven. It happens every single time.
Let's take a phone call. We're going to go to area code 626-488. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me? It's Covina, man?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Man, I've been listening to what you guys have been talking about, and I don't know the lady that you have as a guest on there, but she's 100% wrong.
Really?
I don't think there's anything she said that was accurate about any of the information that she's trying to dispel about what the Occupy Wall Street movement or any of that is. It is very, very much some very, I don't know if it's misleading or just misinformed information.
Okay, tell us what you know then.
If you look at the, Reverend Billy, his organization, the Adbusters. They're always protesting corporation greed, corporate greed, and they always, you know, trying to inform the public about certain things that are going on. You know, people over consumption, and they just took that protest and said, "Well, let's go occupy Wall Street."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Reverend Billy. He doesn't have anything to do with any underground organization or something. They do that once a year. They'll do that like Buy Nothing Day, What Would Jesus Buy movement. You know, they've been around for a while. It's just an underground protest. I think right now these movements are springing up all over the country. All over the country, people are upset about the corruption that's going on in Wall Street and the Congress. There are people upset that the Congress has sold out the country.
Mm-hmm.
People upset that Wall Street, that elite 1%, is just dominating all the political forces, all the political movement, you know, from, you know, Rupert Murdoch on down to, you know, whatever. It's like the top 1% is corrupting the whole country. And that's why they had that 99% movement. I'm pretty sure 99% people aren't upset, but... You know, they're saying, hey, listen to the other 99%, not just the corrupt Wall Street 1% richest people in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I tuned into your show maybe once or twice before, and it seems like you never have a balance. I understand that.
I'm going to tell you like this. You obviously did not catch the intro when I gave a list.
No.
I tried to invite to this. That's not fair. I mean, that's not fair. Because if I reach out to all of your pages on Facebook about Occupy Wall Street, all the organizers, and they don't show up, whose fault is that? So you cannot say that I don't show up. But I really take offense to that. I mean, you have a right to say whatever you want to say. But I really think, obviously, you don't tune in enough if you think that. Because I absolutely try it on every show to show balance. Go ahead and finish. But I totally disagree with that.
Okay. I understand that, you know, I don't know if Van Jones or Reverend Billy is going to have time to come on your show. But
I called other people. Do you want me to give you a list of the groups again? I mean, I didn't just call one person, sir. I call them all, and you can call them if you like and verify. I called Marissa.
Okay.
She's the organizer down there tonight. I called her. The one that's down in New York right now, Marissa, I called her today. I texted her also, said, hey, we're going on. In 30 minutes, please come on. That's all I can do. I mean,
all
I can do. I mean,
I understand.
Okay,
I understand. I'll take your word for it. I mean, I know it's probably difficult to get people to come on the shows and sometimes, but it just, it seems that the shows that I tune into, and maybe two or three shows other than this one, it seems like you have the same, I don't mean to be offensive,
okay,
but you got the same white supremacist groups on there.
Ooh.
Talking that
Whoa.
Same
thing.
Yeah, like,
I'm African American, but I have white supremacist groups on. Come
yeah,
on
like,
now.
I mean, all those, you have those one, those 9-12 white supremacists and those.
Wait a minute.
Like, do you ever have anybody on there to actually tell you what's going on? It's like you guys. I don't know. It's like you never heard of the term racism, white supremacists, and what these people are trying to bamboozle you with. It's like,
let me tell you, nobody's bamboozling me with anything. I think what you're missing is the 9-12 group and some of the Tea Party members have been on talking about Agenda 21, and they've also been on talking about the smart meters. So it sounds like you tuned into those shows, which we're talking about. Well, we talk about all kinds of things on Center Stage, so I'm so surprised that those are the only shows that you've caught. I mean, there's an archive, a rich archive of all types of shows, and those are the only ones that you've heard. And so, therefore, you think that's, I mean, me, an African American, only brings white supremacists on the show. Oh, come on, are you serious?
I know one time I told you, your chat room isn't open today for some reason, but I remember one day I tuned in, and I saw another guy I'm familiar with, Black Man 37, and I asked him, I said, you know, do you know this host? So why do they have these white supremacists on? He said, and he tried to tell me, like, no, she's not really like that. But it just happened.
Okay,
let's address your white supremacist
comment.
I
didn't catch the gentleman's name.
I'm Covina Mahan.
Pardon me?
Covina.
What was your first name?
Covina.
Covina?
Covina. Okay, Covina.
Okay, Covina. First of all, let me tell you, we are not a white supremacist group, and it's a little unfair for you to say that. We are just Americans, and I love Black Americans, Hispanic backgrounds, Native Americans. I mean, that's a little bit unfair. I'm in no way racist. We teach the history of this country, and in a few weeks, we actually are having courses on the Black history of this nation and how the Blacks helped found this nation. So that's a little bit unfair. And nobody here is beating up and saying anything racist. There are tons of white people, and Carrie and I talked about this earlier today. How many, really, of minorities do you see in those crowds on Occupy Wall Street down in New York City?
That's what
or
I was getting at earlier.
For that
Somebody
matter.
Want to go there with you. If you pay attention, Occupy Wall Street doesn't have a lot of brown people in it. I'm just saying. And I'm not being racist, y'all. I'm not playing the race card. That's just what that is. And so I noticed that, and even one of the mainstream media outlets brought attention to that protest does not include several groups. So I don't know why I'm just at a loss that you said what you said. Let me ask you something. The Tea Party has come on, the 9-12 group. What have they ever said that was racist when we're talking about the smart meter and Agenda 21? I don't think they did.
I listened to that. I think what it is that you're not fully informed on all the information being presented.
Wow.
And when one is not fully informed, I'm just saying, this one, if we're not fully informed of what information is and where is it coming from, one will generally accept what it is has been spoken of without analyzing where is it coming from.
Okay.
In my opinion, and we, you know, have some facts to back this up,
okay,
but in my opinion, anyone associated with the 9-12 mm-hmm. is coming from a white supremacist movement. They may not be the skinhead white supremacists. Every white supremacist is not a skinhead or Aryan nation or run around with the Nazi sign.
Mm-hmm.
They're promoting the racism, white supremacist policies that goes
now,
on in this country of the top 1%.
Okay, let me ask
Can
you
Can we
this,
dispute
though.
That? Yes.
We talked about Agenda 21 and we talked about the smart meter and none of that has ever surfaced, how can you call them racist? Just because you're saying just because they're affiliated with the group, that therefore they have to be racist? Is that what you're saying?
No, No, I wouldn't say just because they're affiliated. The mm-hmm. affiliation has a lot to do with it.
Okay.
It has a lot to do with it. I mean, if you listen, what I listen to is I always hear, it seems like this is the second, maybe even the third time I've heard your guest, I guess her name was Terry, and she come on there talking about Marxists and communists. Aren't you enough informed to realize that everyone that says that is coming from a white supremacist point of view? There's no Marxists and communists pushing in this country. That's if it is, it's such a small, less than 8% of people that are walking around as a communist. I mean, nobody's really a communist, and it's like.
Because I can't tell.
And it seems like they always. It seems like they. Let me just finish. It seems like they always want to throw in, you know, the dreaded, hated, black leaders or some other leader. And make them as the boogeyman. They're the boogeyman to stand up against these white supremacists in their movement.
No, Carrie, let me say something here. First, I'd like to ask the gentleman if he knows what the 9/12 organization really is.
Of course I know what it is.
Okay, tell me what it
is. I'm fully informed. I'm not uninformed.
Let me see if you know what it is. Tell me what it is. Tell me what we do.
You have this devil, Glenn Beck, come up with this idea about starting a revolution on 9/12, the day after 9/11, America changed, and they want to go around and seal in white supremacy from that day on. It generated from a Satanist.
Let me speak for a minute, okay? I don't know where you're getting your information from, but let me tell you what our 9/12 group truly is. The number 9/12 does stand for the day after 9/11, but why it is 9/12 is because we all want to be the people we were on 9/12/2001, which meant that we were all Americans, very concerned. We came together. We went to our churches. We prayed for God's help after that attack, and we mourned every loss of that day. And it did not matter what color your skin was, what race you were, what religion you were, nor did it matter what country you came from. We mourned the loss, and we came together. That's who we are. We focus on education, true historical education. And part of that education is actually putting the minorities of the blacks into the proper perspective of the history of this country. Blacks were actually the first people killed in the revolution. Do you realize that? Do you realize they fought next to George Washington? Do you realize that? And that George Washington...
It's because every black person that knows history knows Crispus Attucks was the first person to die. But that had nothing to do with it's like you trying to usurp your movement. You can't vacuum everything into your white supremacist movement and call it like, oh, we're standing up for everybody. There were plenty of people that were mourned after.
I can see this can go on for. And you know what, Cole, I respect your right to say what you say. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if we're going to ever come to an agreement on what I do on this show, but I am glad that you had a chance to voice your opinion about it, but I totally disagree. Can we agree to disagree tonight?
Yeah, we're going to agree to disagree.
Okay.
Let me just leave you with this.
I say what?
I just leave you with this. Have someone else on there to balance out this.
I'm hoping some other callers are here going to balance me out tonight. Because, like I said, obviously you didn't hear the list of people that I'm going to go over one more time for anybody who happened to miss it. And if you happen to know these folks, get on the phone lines and say, hey, Carrie's on there saying she reached out to y'all. If she didn't, call her and put her on blast. Parents for Occupy Wall Street, Michael Radner, he's with the Center for Constitutional Rights. He was attorney down there that was fighting that they didn't get evicted from Zuccotti Park. Adbusters, that was the original organizers of this protest. I reached out to Van Jones. I reached out to Working Families Party. I reached out to the company that did the documentary on this young man, the documentary company is called Small Story Visuals. They did that documentary of that young man standing out there very passionately talking about what was going on down there on Wall Street. And I reached out to the Occupy Wall Street website. Now, listen, I don't have all week to call 100 people and invite them to one show. So I did my part. And so if you say I didn't represent balance here, it's because they didn't show up. Now, if they are these callers, just hold them. We'll see in a minute. But listen, I don't have all day to call 100 people for one show. And so I did what I was supposed to do, and on any other show, I don't have to call that many people to book a panel. So when you say things like that, you're not being correct with your facts. So, maybe one day you'll email me an apology on that, but trust me, I did my part to present balance tonight. Okay? Can we agree to disagree?
Okay. Yeah, we're going to, yes.
Okay. I'm going to move on. Okay. Let's see. We're going to go to area code 314-381. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine. How are you doing?
You know, Christopher Attucks died in 1770.
Okay.
Revolutionary War was 1775. Okay. But that's all right. He's just coming out of, he's walking down the street. Some drunks came out of a tavern and shot him.
Okay.
That's another one of those urban legends.
Okay.
But, you know, I really enjoy seeing the Occupy Wall Street movement and these young people, not only just young people, but these Americans that's out protesting a whole assortment of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very honorable of them to do that. And I also agree with a lot of the issues of the Tea Party, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if people would look at the issues, they would probably agree to them also. But, you know, the thing is that American public is just, for a lighter word, just dumb, ignorant, but they're just dumb. Many of the geopolitical things that go on in the war, but not only in the world, but the things that go on here, they're just not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's catching up. And the financial situation that this country is in, this is something that's going to be lasting for, you know, we talk about maybe at least four decades or longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to end in 2014 or 2018. It's going to take a long time, if in fact they even come out of it at all. I think that there should be some pressure on this administration to stop starting these wars. Look like they want to start one with Iran again.
So you think Occupy Wall Street is a good thing?
I think it's a good thing, just like I think Tea Party is a good thing also.
Okay, okay. So you disagree with the previous caller?
Well, he was covering so much stuff. I don't think, no, about as far as him being a white supremacist group, was that what he said? I don't want to take anything out of his mouth.
And that was an unfair assessment of the 9/12 group, but yeah, that's what he said.
No, Tea Party is not Tea Party is not racist. Their organization, the issues that they stand on is not racist. I mean, they have some people in their organization, just like any other organization, that don't like this person or that person for whatever reason. Some of them do some crazy things. I mean, if they assault someone, they should be punished for it.
Well, do you think Occupy Wall Street will accomplish anything?
I think it has a potential to accomplish a lot if it don't get hijacked.
Mm.
And I think that other people, especially blacks and African Americans, they should be in right on the front line in these type of protests, because
if we were not invited initially, do you think we should join in now?
Well, how are you going to, I mean, a lot of people wasn't invited either. Some people who were just plain fed up.
Okay. I was just asking, and I'm not picking on them, y'all. I'm just saying, because you know what? There's no need in talking about a subject unless you're going to cover it all. So I'm just covering it all. So, and like I said, I invited them to come on and speak for themselves, but they basically told me that, you know, media tends to, you know, twist their words and edit out their stories. And, you know, that's not what we do. Y'all know we go into podcast 5 minutes after the show is over, and we don't edit our show, and it is live. But, you know, that's what they told me. But anyway, I'm sorry.
Well, it's
go ahead.
To have a show like this. You just need to have more people to participate.
You can't make them participate, sir. I called them. Listen, and that's why I'm saying I just find it a little suspect. If you're on TV, whenever a camera does have it brushed by your way, you scream, the media's blacking us out. And then I call, you know, I don't know, countless people, and nobody's willing to come and talk about it. That seems just a little suspect because it doesn't seem as much as, you know, well, it doesn't seem to be as bad as you're making it out to be. You say it, the media is blacking you out, but it seems like in your own way you're blacking out the media. So, you know, that's just something I picked up this week. And that was after talking to several people. It took a minute for the light bulb to come on, but I thought to myself, well, why is everybody running, you know, rather than speaking? I mean, people weren't even willing to come on record. I mean, and those that would come on record, they're saying, like, you know, here, let me give you a quick statement. You know, that just seems suspect, you know. And I'm like, well, just, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, you know,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mainstream media is so biased and so backward. CNN, especially, what is it, Wolf Blitzer, and I've seen somebody else on there, I can't think of their name. Oh, Dianne Feinstein, I think it was. I mean, that was just a pitiful
Brown, and I come to you, you still want to talk to me?
Pardon me?
I said, I'm underground. I'm not mainstream. And I say, hey, come talk to me. Tell us what's going on so we can, you know, pass the word, and you still want to talk.
Well, actually, the type of questions and that you're opening and the platform that you're holding, I think, is the fairest of all.
I think so, too.
Yes, it is. And another thing we have to remember and also keep in mind is that the mainstream media will be putting a lot of attention on the Occupy Wall Street to take people's attention off of what's going on with the United States trying to get involved in Syria, Iran.
This is true. That is suspect because that's giving us the back page now, which, you know, in any other day prior to this Occupy Wall Street, we would be hearing all about that. That would be main page, the front page.
Mm-hmm. I like to talk to people about that, but it's very difficult to find someone that you can talk to like that. I talked to a group of young black males on Sunday, you know, and they're very, very accurate on the conversation, on the events that's going on. Wall Street, geopolitical events with the wars and so forth. But, you know, it's difficult to find on Blog Talk Radio, in many cases, you know, a platform like you got. Then when you have the platform that's wide open, the participation is very, very low.
You see what I'm saying? Because you know what? We've been so dumbed down. When you bring up issues like that, it's like unless somebody's bombing somebody or somebody police kill somebody or something, like, nobody's really paying attention, which is sad because if the revolution is here and it ain't going to be televised, a whole bunch of us ain't going to know it until the bomb hits the house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which,
yeah, you're right about that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish, caller. I'm sorry. We got some more callers holding. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I'll just, you know, stand back and listen. Let somebody else come in and give their opinion.
Okay. Thank you, caller.
Sure.
We're going to go to area code 402-972. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Greetings.
Greetings.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm still learning.
Me too. Who are
Wonderful.
We? Who are we speaking
Black
with today?
Man, Black Man 37 out of Houston.
Hey, Black Man.
Hello, and hello to your guest.
Hello.
I would like to cover something real quick.
Oh, please, we're listening.
I move to the subject. Okay. What Convenient Man was actually saying in small context was, I mean, it's very quickly, is something that Neely Fuller Jr. and also Dr. Francis Cuswell-Zing, as long as Naeem Akbar, have stated from what they wrote as psychologists, what mm-hmm. they've seen and what they've experienced mm-hmm. in mass numbers of people of color on the planet. So basically what it all boils down to is those who classify themselves as white, mm-hmm. if they're not working to destroy, eliminate racism, white supremacy in all the nine areas of people's activity on the planet 24/7 and setting up a system of justice, which is those who need the most help get the most help, and those who are mistreated are harmed, are not mistreated or harmed, okay? So if you're doing that type of work, then you're not supporting racism, white supremacy, you're countering it. And that's pretty much what he was saying based off the information. So, because I understand what he meant. Also, another, I'm going to quote Neely for the Jr., if you do not understand racism, white supremacy, what it is, how it works, and everything else that you understand will only confuse you. So, those 2 points I wanted to make and get those out the way.
Well,
and so that she understands, your caller understands what it is, what I'm talking about. If you don't, like I said, I quoted Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. Also look up Neely Fuller Jr. and Naeem Akbar to have a clear understanding of what's being said. If it's not clicking right. Now, to the subject. Now, the Tea Party, yes. I mean, I don't see too many people of color in New York at it. I see a few.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Latinos. I've seen some African Americans.
But very few.
But yes, very few. I also talk to people, or there are people from New York that hold Blog Talk Radio shows, and I never heard too much of them talking about that. So it's not like they're not informed. I think they just, for whatever reason, I don't quite understand how they see it. Plus, also, if you see or hear, because I listen to Democracy Now, I watch Keith Olbermann's show, and Al Jazeera. So when I watch Keith Olbermann does his report, or if I watch Democracy Now, I can see people of color in different states. You know, in different major cities, I would see a few more African Americans there, like Michigan, some here in Houston, some in other parts. So if we're there, we're just not there in mass number. The other point I have to make is while this is going on, a mass number of us are not doing this, we need to be doing our own thing. We need to be putting down a structure, an infrastructure, so that we can take care of ourselves just in case this movement moves forward and they start excluding us. Because as anybody knows, that anytime a movement is made by a mass number of Caucasian people or people who classify themselves as white, that they're going to continue to push forward. And in some cases, it always seems to put us and keeps us out of it to a degree. This is historical. This has been going on for years. So black people need to put their own infrastructure together to take care of self, so that if that does happen again, we know what to do and how to do it better. And so that from what has been done in the past, so that we will be able to take care of ourselves, our family, and our children.
Mm.
Okay? Because without this infrastructure, we can get into this debate all day long. We can get in debates and arguments with white people who classify themselves all day long. It's not going to work because we don't have an infrastructure for ourselves. And it doesn't matter how many arguments we get into. It doesn't matter what disagreements we have. That's still the major problem with black people or people who are African-American in the United States as we speak. You're right. The revolution is being televised now.
Mm.
What are black people going to do? Are we going to sit here and have this argument, debate, and bicker and complain, black women mad at black men mad at black women? Because when the economy contract finally collapses and the dollar is worth nothing, what are we going to argue about?
Mm.
Is it going to help?
Let me ask you, so are you for Occupy Wall Street or against it?
I'm for it if this is a legitimate uprising against the infrastructure that was set by the forefathers of this country. Mm-hmm. They're willing to overturn it, because even when the four so-called founding fathers were doing it, at a certain period going forward from that, those wealthy landowners were still powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still in power. They're just with Wall Street. But here's the other kicker about it. You also have to understand the history of the international bankers and how they had a hand in taking over in the United States. Read the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. Find out who these men were behind that. What were their hands in? I mean, you got two families who had control of the international banks, who took over in 1913, pushed that Federal Reserve Act in, that had financed Hitler.
Mm.
And they claim to be Jews. So if they have a hand, if this is what they have put the structure in, they have a hand, and they still have and reaping all the benefits from it, it should let you know, yeah, people need to rise and change that whole system, because the system is dead. The United States government is really not helpful anymore. It's controlled by very powerful people, and people are blaming Obama. Obama is a figurehead. He's no different than Kennedy. He's no different than Bush 1 and 2. He's no different than Ronald Reagan. And if you don't think the president's a figurehead, look at Bush 2 and Ronald Reagan's presidency.
Mm.
An actor and an idiot. What more do I need to say? Smart men were behind these gentlemen. Yes, yeah, smart men were behind these gentlemen and have always been behind the president pushing legislation, pushing their own agenda, and they will continue to do this until that system is uprooted and a new system is put in place that is just, that is fair to all people.
But you know what? Something somebody told me, and y'all, I'm being very honest, this is something somebody told me about, I guess, 6 to 8 months ago. Someone said there's going to be a revolution here, and it ain't about black people. And I thought, what, how can that be? We live here. And when I saw Occupy Wall Street and I didn't see us represented in the early part of it, I didn't see any of us in the early days of Occupy Wall Street, then the light bulb came on that could be very true. And so the person told me, and I'm just being honest, y'all, I'm just passing on information. The person said, not Occupy Wall Street, but the revolution won't be about black people, so black people just need to stand on the porch and watch it because it won't be about us. That was
well,
8 months ago.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, it doesn't, they could say that, but anytime something is changing in the United States government, in the United States, it always affects us. So it may not be about us, but in some ways it is about us.
Mm.
Because you can't exclude us. Remember, we are the infrastructure. We were the ones who built this country. We didn't help build it. We built it.
But what I mean by that is if the planning of Occupy Wall Street went on, and I mean when I tell you I asked every black person I knew, have you, I mean, I text people, I email people, I call everybody I can think of, and I said, have you heard anything about Occupy Wall Street? And several people told me, listen, I'm in the know. If it was going down, I would know, trust me. So I began to think, well, maybe I got some bad information, but for some reason my gut instinct said, no, this ain't bad information. But nobody I knew knew. Let me ask you this. Had you heard of it, black man, before it happened?
I heard very little about it, but like I said, I listen to Democracy Now, and they talk about it constantly.
Okay.
So I've heard a little bit about it, and I watched it as close as I could from when I first heard it, and now seeing it and looking at it, but I still stand on my point that it may not, people, you may not think it's about us, or we have nothing to do, or that it has nothing to do with us, but it affects us. So therefore, it does have something to do with us. When you're looking at that television, when you're listening to that radio, it's affecting you. So therefore, it is affecting all of us.
That's just the way somebody put it to me. And I don't know. Okay. I'm gonna go there. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. There's no way we can live here and it not affect us. But
right.
Some kind of way, that person, the way they felt about it. It was as though it almost when I saw what happened on Occupy Wall Street and the way it went down, I thought maybe this is what they were talking about. Maybe this is the revolution and it's not including us. So maybe this is what they meant.
It could affect us.
Yeah.
It affects us. Period. Now,
yeah.
Real quick, because I know you got a lot of calls, and I'm sorry to hold off so much of your time.
Okay.
It can affect us negatively. Or it could affect us positively, okay? So if it's not about us, then that we should leave a logical question. In
should
what
we be,
way
should,
does it affect us?
Should we be down there protesting? Because we're not. And not in massive numbers, we're not.
I say that we should go ahead and protest if some of us want to do that, but I also say we need to build our own infrastructure. That's the main focus of what we need to do, because when it goes down, then what? Because what do you think? You think you're going to be able to go to the grocery store? Do you not think that those powerful white folks are going to allow you to have that?
Yeah.
Do you not think they won't shut you down?
Please. Mary,
mm-hmm.
can I interject here?
Yeah.
I didn't catch the young man's name.
My original name is James, but on Blog Talk Radio I go by Black Man 37.
Okay, Black Man 37. I guess that's what I'll call you then. You're absolutely right in a lot of ways.
one of the things that the 9/12 organization does is tell people they should prepare and be able to take care of their family and their loved ones and their neighborhoods, hopefully. But I guess what surprises me the most is you keep referring back to the black population and that we're separate or that the white man's going to take care of it or take it away or whatever. Have you ever considered that there's a lot of us white people out here that we're in the same boat you are?
I would say that as any business under the system of racism and white supremacy, it works as a business, as a religion. And anybody knows that a religion is what a firm belief in something. Now, when I'm saying that it's run like a business, it means that they know that there's going to be gains and losses. In other words, those or many of whites that are out here are going to suffer. They are going to make you suffer. You know why? Because it makes it not look as though it's unbalanced. It makes it look as though, well, we're not just targeting people of color. Because, see, look at our people are suffering too. They're going to mistreat their own people. But
no,
the main goal.
But
I'll finish real quick. I want to finish real quick. And then, I mean, with all due respect, because I try to be as respectful as possible. But it, like I said, it's like a business. So they're going to mistreat a good number of white folks, but their main objective is to displace, confuse, mistreat, and harm as many people, non-white people, as they possibly can. And like I said, again, they are going to mistreat white people as well. But I'm talking about a small group of very powerful white folks. See, there's three different groups. There's racist white supremacists. There are people, white folks that classify themselves as white, and then there are non-white people. So in those three categories, if you are someone who classifies yourself as white, then it doesn't necessarily mean you are a racist white supremacist. You're able to practice, but doesn't necessarily mean that if you're countering racism, white supremacy. Then therefore, if you're countering, like I said, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're not a racist white supremacist. You're helping to bring a system of justice to people of color across the board. So, yes, you will be mistreated. There's no question.
And don't you think the majority of Americans are doing that? I mean, I still find it fascinating, I guess, because I've never had a prejudice bone in my body. And I wouldn't want any human being, I don't care what color they are, what creed they are, or what color their hair or eyes or anything else is, I don't want anybody to suffer. And I see a lot of people that are going to suffer under what's happening here. You're right in so many points, but then you take all those points away and focus it on race. And all I can tell you is that we wouldn't want your neighborhood to suffer any more than we would want our neighborhood to suffer, because we all live in the same neighborhood, really. But you are so right on when you say you must prepare, because you're right. If this revolution really does do what we all believe it's going to, we all have to prepare for it. And the grocery store shelves are not going to be stocked, and it doesn't matter what color you are.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Well, to the point of that you made as far as prejudice, we're not talking about prejudgment, because prejudice means to prejudge before the fact. So I'm not accusing you of being prejudiced at all. I'm talking about racism, white supremacy. I'm not talking about prejudice. I'm not talking about racial prejudice. I'm talking about racism, white supremacy, plain and simple. So with that, but I did make a point to clarify that you will be mistreated, because they're going to mistreat you too.
Oh, they're going to mistreat all of us, because when there's a revolution like there is, nobody escapes it. Nobody does.
Nobody escapes it.
No.
However, to the point of that, all of us, I would say that even in now, at this point in time, we're still segregated. And it, from what you look at all the statistics that are coming out as far as the treatment between people of color and those who classify themselves as white, you will notice that we're usually the ones getting hit harder. So therefore, it's not an even playing field even at this point in time. Because if it wasn't even playing field, there wouldn't be any disparagement on the treatment of non-white people in the United States and in the world as a whole.
No, I agree with you, but let me ask you, can you tell me who has kept the blacks down for the longest period of time?
Well, yeah, we're going the wrong.
No. I mean, it's an easy question. It's a very easy question to answer. There's two situations that claim that are the blame for that. First of all, we all know that black folks still suffer from psychological problems attributed to mistreatment on the planet. And you can check Dr. Francis Creswell-Zing and William Dantry's work on that. So part of it is our problem. Part of it is our fault because we continue to walk in a way that is not constructive and not helpful for us to have better respect for ourselves. So part of it is our fault as African Americans in the United States. The other part of it is racism, white supremacy, which is still in effect as we speak. Now, let me also clarify that I'm not. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize, but that's the key point I want to
say. Hey, y'all. I'm going to occupy Wall Street, y'all. But anyway, thank you, Black Man. Thank you, Black Man.
Thank you very much.
Harry will put us in touch at some point.
I'll put you in touch with Black
Okay.
Okay. If you just tuned in, you've come center stage tonight. We're talking about Occupy Wall Street. It's a movement. The protesters are down there, and they have a number of issues on the table. They're talking about high unemployment, better health care, high foreclosure rates, lack of jobs, slash school budgets, and you name it, they're down there protesting about it. So we're talking about it tonight. So if you're somebody who's down there occupying Wall Street, we want to hear from you tonight. Listen, I reached out to all of y'all. I just want to know what's on your mind. Why are you down there? What you hope to get from your march and your protesting? And do you feel like the government is listening? That's what I want to hear from you all tonight. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're on the web at www.AfricanAmericanNewsAndCommentary.com. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, now is the time to press 1. Or if you're listening in via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. The chat room is down tonight, y'all. I am not able to man it, so therefore it is down. So listen, if you have a question or a comment, get on the phone line. Tell me what you're thinking. Okay, we're going to go to area code 804-798. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Hi, good evening. My name is Hugh. I'm calling from Virginia.
Hi, Hugh.
And related to Occupy Wall Street, they're going against the laws of attraction. They have to do what Deepak Chopra has said, and that's to put your hand on your heart and envision the most beautiful world that you can for the future.
Mm.
I'd like to share a blog with you that has a letter from President Obama to me on it,
okay,
related to the economy, dated July 7th, 2009. There's also a powerful little poem I created, which is in the President Ronald Reagan Library. It's discussed as a weapon against terrorism in the interview that can be downloaded.
Mm-hmm.
To see this information, if you just Google the word creativity, the number 777.com, that will bring it up.
Creativity777.com.
Yes, and also I am a disabled senior citizen. I'm a veteran. And I have strategies that I'm releasing into the business world. These same strategies can empower individuals and communities, and it will totally change the whole global economics picture. My big mission and vision is to bring spirituality into global economics and combine it with unconditional love.
Okay, so you're part of Occupy Wall Street?
I'm sorry?
Did you say you were part of Occupy Wall Street?
No, I'm calling from Virginia, and I'm from New York originally, but related to the movement, if anybody's listening, I hope that they'll start looking at the information on the blog, and also when you see my name on there, if you put that on the Internet, you'll see other interviews and things. There's an article entitled America's New Transformational Economy, and that has a PDF file of 18 pages and actually a letter from the Carter administration in 1977.
Okay, tell us what's on your blog.
Well, in essence, in the interview, I touch base on what I term a global incentive economy, and I describe a novelty product that I call CEO fertilizer. And that's what it's meant to do, is to wake you up or whatever, but CEO actually stands for Creative Entrepreneurial Opportunity. And when you hear me discuss the aspects of CEO fertilizer, just keep in mind that every aspect can apply to every existing product, service, and website, and everything coming online in the future. There are ways to empower yourself. I wrote a brief article. It's not on any of the information I gave you, but it's entitled "And Now Comes the iPod." And, you know, Steve Jobs just passed. He's the inventor of the iPod. And my iPod is free to all mankind. That will help people with their creativity.
Okay,
and it can be utilized on and off the grid. And off the grid, it can be as simple as an index card file of contacts and opportunities. Again, you empower and give value to by how you network with it. And YPOD stands for your personal opportunity database. On the internet, it can be a website, a blog, or a social media application, and those can be portals to sophisticated computer-coded databases of all kinds of pre-qualified global business opportunities. In essence, you're going to computer code stuff so that you control it, not the big boys. And you'll do your business deals with those who you know and who you trust. And this is the melting pot for the world, America. So we've been the greatest consuming engine ever, but now we have the chance to reach back to our homeland countries through relatives and friends or whatever and do small import-export. And these guys, they've already lost. They don't even realize it. Then we have to look back at who's controlling us and why. I was written up in a front-page Wall Street Journal article, which was dated Wednesday, April 27th, 1983. It was written by staff reporter Jonathan Quitney, spelled K-W-I-T-N-Y. In that article, I exposed the former federal government bureaucrat for fraud. I believe he was a CIA operative. At the time, he was engaged to the daughter of Jim Wright. Now, Jim Wright was a congressman from
Texas. Let me ask you something, Colin, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but are you for the Occupy Wall Street movement, or are you not for the Occupy Wall Street movement? Because we're trying to stay on subject tonight, and we keep veering off a little bit, and we just, because that's the purpose of the show tonight.
There's no total clarity on what the Occupy Wall Street is all about. There's so many different factions.
I agree.
If you just take one thing and stick with it, say the economy, but it should be not just taking away from the rich, because some will say they earned it and deservedly so. And if the tables were turned and you were rich, you wouldn't want the storming of the Bastille if you earned all your money honestly. What we want to do is root out the corruption in big government, big business, and big media, because they have a stranglehold on us. And what we want is what built this country, and that's entrepreneurism. Bill Gates even said if he had to start Microsoft today, he couldn't do it because of all the restrictions the government has put on things. The big boys are trying to choke everything off, and they would love to shut down the internet, but they can't because they're using it to spy on us. So now what we have to do is look back, follow the money, see who's got what, why they're controlling us, and start realizing that every day you buy a product, it's election day. You're voting every time you buy a product for the company that you're buying it from. And I like to throw in a little quote for people related to Occupy Wall Street, too, that Gary Hirschberg, the CEO of Stonyfield Yogurt, said, "If you think you're too small to make a difference, then you've never gone to bed at night with a mosquito in the room." Think of that for a bit.
I got that. Wonderful. Thank you, caller. That's a good quote. I love that. Thank you, caller. Okay, we're going to try to catch up with our phone calls. We're going to go to area code 626. I don't know which one of you, 626 and 646. 626-488. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Oh, I had called in before. I just wanted to clarify something.
Okay.
It was real quick. I think the lady with the 912, what they fail to understand as it relates to the Occupy Wall Street is that the revolution that people are, that they might be fearing, it is not the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
They, for whatever reason, think that the enemy is the people that pissed off. What is actually, if there is an enemy, the enemy is the people who are currently on Wall Street, not the occupiers, not the people that's trying to object to Wall Street interference or Wall Street's corruption.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are the enemy are the Wall Street. It is the big boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the 9-12 people are seeing like they're trying to save the country from the so-called anti-Americans, when it's really the people who need to be saved are the Americans, from the people who are the corrupt. And it's like they got 100% backwards. They see the enemy as the people who are the victims. So like when they're talking about environmental movements and stuff like that, those people are they're the victims. They're the ones that's being oppressed by the boys in power. And they seem to think that the people who are yelling and screaming about being oppressed are the enemy. They somehow, they're un-American. What they are is they're upset about what's going on in the country. Because now 9-12 are trying to conserve the system as it is, and other people are trying to change it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, they have 100%
Carrie?
Backwards.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Can I address that, Carrie?
Sure.
It's not that you've got it all wrong. It isn't the bankers. Some of them, none of them did anything illegal. If they did, they'd be in jail. And you have to understand that it is the government that put the regulations in place that allowed for the system to fail in 2008. And it isn't the bankers' fault that it failed. Your politicians insisted that they give out loans that people could not repay. So the Occupy Wall Street people are not occupying the right place. If you're really talking about changing things, they would be occupying the White House lawn. They certainly wouldn't be occupying Wall Street. The Wall Street bankers are not the bad guys. The bad guys are the ones that forced the situation into what it is. And the people that are occupying Wall Street are being used. We understand that America is in trouble, and we understand that there is an attack on our way of life. It's whether or not all Americans wake up to what the true problem is, and the true problem is not the Wall Street bankers.
You see, okay, Carrie, are you clear about what's going on? I mean, can you actually see it? They're saying that the enemy is the people that's objecting to it. Is that not clear?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
But these people, see what these people are doing? They're saying what's bad is good. That somehow Wall Street is the good people. And that the people who are objecting to Wall Street are the bad people. Do you not get that?
That's not what I said.
I'm trying to ask, Carrie, do you not
No. I'm doing a talk show. You know what? All I'm doing is putting the views out there. So, I hear what you're saying. No, don't think. I hear what you're saying, caller. No. What I'm trying to do is get to the root of several things. Why are they protesting? Why are there so many different issues out there? Because whenever you go in and it's like getting in a fight right now. If seven people attack you, if you try to fight all seven of them, more than likely they're going to take you down. But at least if you attack this one, I mean, if you just focus on that one person out of that seven, trust me, you can do some damage to one, but you can't be effective if you're fighting seven people at one time. Same with them getting down there with these issues. If you take 20 issues to the table, you can't win. If you take 100 issues to the table, you can't win. So that's what I'm trying to understand. What can they expect to gain if you take too many issues to the government at one time and say, we're upset about all of this? Then you just give them the reason to say, you know what, we can't help y'all. Y'all want the whole, you know, gamut, and we can't do that for you. So you get nothing. And so that's all I'm trying to understand. I'm just trying to show balance and listening to all sides.
I'm trying to make sure that you understand.
I do.
That is not what these 9-12 people say that it is. They are 100% backwards. They are the enemy. And it's like they're protecting the people who are the corrupted. If you have the people, somebody is the raper and somebody is being raped.
I understand.
And the 9-12 are the rapists. And the people who are objecting to being raped are protesting. And they want to twist it up and say, "Oh no, it's the people that's mad about being raped is the enemy," and they're scared of the revolution of the people who's getting raped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The bad
guys are already here. It's not like they're coming. Like they have the thing, like this idea that somewhere around the corner there's going to be a revolution and these evil people are coming. If you just wait, these evil people are coming. The evil people have already been here. They've been here since 1492. They've been here. They've already been here. They're doing their thing right now. Right now the bad things are going on. We don't have to wait till the revolution is coming. The revolution is the people trying to say, can I get these people off my neck? Can I get the rapists out of my thing from being raped? The bad guys are already here. They're already on Wall Street. They're already throwing the people out of their houses.
I get that. I do. I'm just, you know, I hear you. Can we agree that I do hear you?
Okay, that's what I'm just trying to make sure you understand what's going on, because so many people come on there with their bull crap, and you never call them on it. The enemy
you know
is
what?
Already
but again,
the
you're talking about shows
here.
Where we did Agenda 21 and the smart meter. Agenda 21 is going to affect us all, and so is the smart meter. Trust me. And so I don't know how you could accuse them of being racist for talking about Agenda 21 and the smart meter. I mean, you know what I mean? But I tell you what, I'm gonna get your information and I'm gonna talk to Black Man because Black Man seems to be very familiar with you. And we're gonna talk about maybe we'll do a show on it. How about that?
Okay, that'd be great.
Whatever.
Thank you.
Okay, we're gonna go to 646. Thank you for holding so long. 256. 646-256. Good evening. You're on center stage. Good evening. Oh my board keeps moving. I'm sorry. 646. Good evening.
Yeah. Hey, this is Kirby Demaray from Parents for Occupy Wall Street.
Yes. Hi, Kirby. How are you?
Yeah, I am good. We have had a long night.
I know you guys.
Man,
this is one of the organizers. Tell us what's going on.
So, listening to you guys right now, Jesus, guys, this is what's happening in this very conversation is one of the problems with the confusion around the movement. Like, we need to stop fighting one another, just like that back and forth that just happened between you guys. Something that needs to be made very clear, which the press has been distorting quite well, and, you know, that's their job, to defend who's paying their bills, essentially. We need to understand that the movement isn't to get the Wall Street execs down, like, on their knees apologizing for what happened. It's not to get Obama to show up saying, yes, we're going to change everything, it's a revolution. The movement is the first step. There are big issues within this country, and you're right, there are a lot of things that are being talked about at the rally. A lot of stuff that is being brought to the table, and it can seem overwhelming if you're not there because you're just hearing the secondhand accounts and it seems complicated and all those kind of things. But it's not about making initial change. Right now what is happening, it's about admitting that there's a problem wrong, which is the first step to change. Now, over time, there is going to be a clearer message that's going to develop. Down there right now, I mean, I just watched a cultures and art meeting happen for about an hour and a half, and there is messages that are starting to come out, but the whole point of how the rally is being run is that we're going back to a true democracy where everybody gets to have their say and everybody gets their little piece. This isn't going to happen overnight. This is going to take time and development for everyone to be brought to the table, and that right there is the confusion that's happening. Everyone is expecting, like, that this movement is going to demand change right away. We're not. We are here for for the long run. We want change, and the only way it's going to happen is if it develops naturally, and if politicians, and I agree, you know, that we do need to get the politicians involved. But right now, the core issue is, and the reason that we're down there is just to draw some light and some awareness on what has been going on, and that needs to be from Wall Street. That has to happen there first and foremost. Honestly, we would not be able to rally, I believe personally. I believe this rally would not have gotten as large as it is, and it would have been taking a lot worse by the government if it started in Washington. Mm-hmm. Now that we've occupied in New York, it can move there. And, you know, I want it to remain peaceful. Everybody wants it to remain peaceful. And we're doing a very, very good job. There is only a few clips that have been out with the police brutality because there's not very much an overall percentage. They've been there for over a month, and you've only seen about three clips online and on the news, and those are on repeat because it's a very peaceful movement. So hopefully when we move into Washington after being in New York, because there's so much manpower behind it now, we'll actually be able to establish ourselves there, whereas before it would have been shut down so quickly. It wouldn't have happened, and we would have never been able to get awareness out to the public.
So when we're hearing things like the police are abusing you all down there, is that true?
Right. I mean, in New York, I can't speak up for the rest of the country. I'm only in New York.
Okay.
I was not there in the beginning when the pepper spray incident has happened. It has happened, but one thing that I've noticed is it's the same clips being replayed, you know? I am ashamed to say I don't know the exact number of instances, but I'm assuming because it's the same clips and the same photographs that are rotating, that it hasn't been that often. Since I've been down there, it has been fine, and it's actually been really amazing because some of the causes that are coming to the table, specifically, and not to say that this is what the rally is all about. I don't want my words to get twisted around, but I was there.
Edited. It's not going to be edited. Go ahead.
No. I'm not saying you. I'm saying just the general public that's listening. I don't want them to think that this is the only reason that I'm involved or that's the only reason that my group is there because it's not. This is a personal thing. You know, I had a sign on my baby because we in the carrier and we're struggling for health insurance right now. We make too much to qualify for as a family to qualify for public aid, but we don't make enough in New York City to pay out of pocket for it. So, you know, I had a sign on my carrier that said, you know, this child cannot afford health care because she makes more than $30,000 a year, which, you know, which is me. And it was just, you know, it was a statement. And one cop, and I'm never going to forget this, like he's on the front line, he's like pushing everybody back, he's doing his job. He just looked at my kid, and you could just see on his face that he was like feeling it. And I was like, I was like, you get it. One of you, you get it. You understand. So, you know, everyone is trying to keep it really, really peaceful. You know, there's always going to be idiots in large groups of people. And there, I have seen some people try to, like, start something with the cops. But I've seen all the other ralliers and protesters around them step up and say, no, man, that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. Like, don't do that. So it is really being spun in the media not the appropriate way. And that's why we're bringing our children down. Mm-hmm. To spread awareness that
aren't y'all having a sleep in or something tonight?
Not tonight. We actually had a press conference. Bloomberg was very, very sneaky on what he did. So his whole threat to clean out happened at the exact time that we were supposed to be down there for our sleepover that night. And you know, not trying to point any fingers, but it was a really big coincidence that happened in the same evening. And he is actually spinning, I don't know how many listeners are in New York, but a lot of what you see with his statements in the media goes on to say there's drugs and all this kind of stuff down there. With us being down there, we were going to prove and, you know, go public with the fact that it's more than just drugs. And I've never even seen one drug. I've been down there. I said that like there was, but I've never even seen a single drug when I've been down there. Not to say that's not happening, because you get a big group of people and they're diverse, and it's going to happen whether it's there or if it's at a Republican thing or whatever. It's going to happen when you have a whole big group of thousands of people. There's going to be bad apples.
Well, let me ask you this. Fox News was reporting that there's, you know, y'all got felons hiding out down there and that people are smoking pot and heroin and that some of the protesters are down there showing others how to get out of handcuffs. Please explain to people that's not what's going on.
That's not what's going on. There was, I did see the photographs. I was there for the handcuff situation. I can understand that from the point of view of being a protester of that situation happening. You know, I was just talking to Legal Aid yesterday, and it was really amazing what they were saying to me, because they were down there, and, you know, they got pretty much everybody. There was like 700 people that got arrested on the Brooklyn Bridge. They pretty much got everybody, I think the right word is acquitted, where they just, like, let go. So, you know, you don't hear that side of the things. You hear 700 people arrested, blah, 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 blah. With the police brutality, I'm not saying it's the right thing to try to break out of handcuffs, but New York City in particular, the NYPD, are really known for abusing their power. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've witnessed it. My neighborhood, for an example, you call the cops if there's an issue in the middle of the night, they don't show up. They won't come to my neighborhood. So I can understand and I can sympathize with the getting out of handcuffs situation, because I don't trust the NYPD. And I'm not talking about across the country, because there are some really honorable men that step up and protect and do their job appropriately. But there's a big problem within this city with law enforcement, a really, really big problem that needs to be addressed.
Let me clarify something I thought I heard you say earlier. So this protest is going to move from New York to Washington, D.C.?
I don't know that. I do not know that. My point of view with that, because I'm not part of that side of the organization, what my point of view by stating that was that I personally think if this were to have started with Washington, that it wouldn't have made any form of – it wouldn't have been able to grow to the point that it's growing right now, that you know, the national government would have taken it a little bit more serious and shut it down quicker, just because, you know, it's Washington, and it's under a heavier security, I feel.
I saw two posters that really kind of struck me, and I've seen a lot of good ones out there, but I saw two. One said, this is just the beginning, and another one said 7 days, 7 weeks. Years. Are you all prepared to really be in there in the trenches that long?
Personally, yeah. I mean, I am. You know, we're talking about with the parent group every single weekend. If we need to be there, we're going to be doing it. You know, that's another big misconception with this whole entire rally, is that, you know, it is all the riffraff that's down there. Nobody else is representing and nobody else is behind it. And Bloomberg is doing a really good job putting that message out there. But it is not true. There are families, there are middle class, there are people who have been struggling for years, and they almost don't know any difference right now. And the parents, unfortunately, you know, we have families that we need to feed. We have kids that we need to put to bed at night. We can't always be there. Mm-hmm. And that's making the message go out that it's only kids, because, you know, the kids can be there, the college kids can do it, and they can represent. But the media needs to start picking up on the fact that it's more than other people, more than those people down there.
Okay, tell us the situation in Zuccotti Park. Was it a situation in which you all had it, like, you know, in such a bad way that the city was able to complain on you all and say that due to health concerns because of the rotting food and the trash, they had to step in?
Yeah, they said they had to step in the same time that the kids were going to be there representing the other half of the protest.
So the park was not as dirty as they said it was.
No, there are sanitation. I have been shaking. There are guys that are walking around that do not work for the city. They're volunteers that are representing Occupy Wall Street. They're walking around with brooms and mops and all the garbage disposal. When we had our area set up, there was someone that came every 45 minutes. Not only that, but they had medics that were going around checking on the kids, saying, hey, does anybody need a snack? Is everyone all right? You need drinks? Yada, yada. It is not. That is the one thing that I will stand behind, even though I haven't been there the whole month. It is not dirty. Even the plants are intact down there right now. You can have any photographer go down there, take photos. They have been roping off the plants so that people aren't trampling them in the middle of the area. It is not dirty. And as soon as we rescheduled our sleepover, then suddenly Bloomberg backed off and said, you know, it's all right, they can stay there again, blah, blah, blah. So I would be really interested to see what happens this coming Friday when we're planning our sleepover again.
Well, Kirby, tell me something about this sign that got changed. I understand down there in Zuccotti Park there was a sign that said no skateboarding or something, but there's been a new sign that's put up that basically addresses all the things that y'all are doing down there. Is that correct?
I don't know. I didn't see that sign. I was with the parent group today protesting, so I have no idea about the sign that you're speaking of. I do know Bloomberg was planning on putting in some other regulations, Bloomberg and the company that owns the park, something about tarps and all that kind of stuff.
That sign went up.
Yeah.
And I saw it on some news coverage that basically it addresses everything you all are doing down there. about the tarps and the sleeping bags?
Yeah.
Okay, no. You have not seen it yet. Okay.
I don't think that was another term that he had by saying that we can't stay down there and all this kind of stuff, which, you know, would make it very hard to have a child stay overnight if we can't have tarps and everything. That would make it very difficult for us to do that. So, but that's another thing he backed off on as soon as we didn't go public until recently that we moved and rescheduled the sleepover. We just said that we were holding a press conference instead. So I don't know what's going to happen. I can say we did extend today. We were speaking at our press conference. We did extend a personal invitation to Bloomberg to come down and meet the families that live in his city and talk to us about why we're at the conference.
Okay. And did you didn't hear anything back, I'm sure, right?
Not yet, but that just happened at 8 o'clock. I mean, the more people that spread the word, you know, the more likely he's going to respond and answer some of our questions of why he's not representing the 99% that live within his own city and the children that live within his own city.
Also, you all have celebrities that are stopping in down there. We hear Kanye West, Russell Simmons, Al Sharpton, David Banner.
Russell Simmons actually stopped over at our kid area for a little while, and it was really amazing. He took it in, and he was like, wow, there's children in the middle of the rally. He was like, you could see that he wasn't expecting to find that when he showed up.
Wait a minute, who did that?
Russell Simmons.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Some people are concerned that the celebrities are using this as photo ops and they're being opportunists. Do y'all feel that way?
I don't think so. If any support that people can put behind it, I mean, they're really a lot of publicists. I was reading about this because we're looking for some people to stop down for the sleepover. A lot of publicists are discouraging their clientele to go down there because they don't know really at this point. They don't know what they're aligning themselves with, you know. So I really think anybody that's stepping up and coming down is really speaking really loudly and should be really proud of what they're doing because they're having faith in the 99%. That, you know, is in the stage of the reform of still not knowing what direction it's truly going in.
Mm-hmm. Are there petitions in place, or are you all asking people to call Bloomberg or the city of New York? I mean,
we called last night.
I made a call for you all, I think it was yesterday, to Bloomberg and to the city of New York about the situation that was going on in Zuccotti Park. But is there other reasons asking people to call Bloomberg?
Only one that I've seen so far was just the Zuccotti Park one, and, you know, I think it was a combination of that. It was a combination of the bad press that he was possibly going to get with the children. It was the petition. I think we got, I don't know what the number ended up being. I know the overall goal was like 300,000 or something like that for petition against the eviction. I haven't seen any other sign-up things like that, but, you know, I could be completely wrong. I'm so buried in the parent and child world right now. With the side of this.
How are you all eating down there? For those of us that are like thousands of miles away, we're trying to figure out how are they feeding 2,000 and 3,000 people a day down there? How is that happening?
Oh, it's so cool. There is so much food to go around. It's unbelievable. They have a kitchen staff right next to the sanitation, so, you know, everything stays really clean. They have a gray, don't ask me to explain it, but I've seen it with how it's used. It's called a gray water system. So, like, you wash dishes in it, and then it goes through and it filters it through plants and, like, gravel and stuff like that, and then it comes out sanitized on the other end. There is so much food. People are donating stuff. There's like pizzas showing up all the time. People are mailing stuff out. It's unbelievable. Another thing I really want to make clear, and I got in debate with somebody online about this recently, that they're saying that business owners are miserable, blah, 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 blah. All the businesses, like all the coffee shops and everything in the area, every time I've been in there, they've been completely packed. And also the whole thing with the bathrooms, no one, like, I have my baby and she needs the diaper changes and all that kind of stuff. No one has ever turned us down. We have always bought something, and they've been more than welcoming to us to come in and use the restrooms. So the whole thing going out about, like, it's turning into a public sewer, blah, blah, blah. I have not smelled one horrible thing. I smell incense. Like, that Nag Chamba has been burned, but, you know, any peace rally is going to have that going on. But I haven't seen or smelled any kind of, like, sewer stuff or anything like that.
Okay. So all of these things that we're hearing, not all of it is true.
And I honestly think if Bloomberg was supporting us, it would be a completely different story that the rest of the world was hearing. It would be so different. And the only thing I can really say to change this, because, you know, I could be lying to you right now. You guys don't know. You have no idea. Mm-hmm. But if you come down, you will see everything I'm saying is true. You just, that's the one thing I'm trying to do through my blogging and through this parent group is self-education. Don't trust the media. Go find out for yourself, and then you'll be able to make an educated decision on whether you support the movement or not.
What is this I'm hearing about October 15th being a day of action?
I am not aware of that. Once again, you know, we're sleeping over on the 21st, and that's, oh, the action. You know what they're probably talking about? They're doing a march tomorrow from Zuccotti Park up to Times Square. Is that what you're talking about?
I went right.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's any, it's just a march. I don't think there's any, like any craziness happening around it. It's just a march, and the group of the parents organization is actually getting together to march in it too.
So for some reason, the information I got that tomorrow is going to be called the Day of Action, October 15th, and it's going to be in 950 cities in 82 countries. That's what I got. That's the information that I got.
So beautiful. I love that. Like, and, you know, and if I can get anything across to your listeners tonight, it's, you know, parents, you should be the loudest voice within this group. It's you know, we have so many people, so many cities who are involved, and it's your children's future, so you guys should be standing up the most out of everybody. Look how many, you know, you just said, like, how many cities and continents and everything are getting involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Kirby, what do you want to leave us with tonight? I mean, you're down there. Okay. You've been down there how many days now?
All week.
Leave us with the mood that you feel down there. What are you feeling being a part of Occupy Wall Street?
Oh, man, after not being evicted, there's, like, this huge excitement that's happening around everything. It's really phenomenal. It's amazing, and it's going to form change, and it's going to be brilliant.
Really? So you all, at the end of the day, if Kirby was to have her way, what would be the end result of you all's protest down there?
For some kind of change to be set in motion. You know, people keep trying to pin me to, like, one political party or, you know, one exact goal of this is what we want to see happen. But again, it's not going to...
Did we lose Kirby?
It's, sorry, no, I just missed my whole dinner. It's okay, I'll find other food. It's not going to be, like I was saying earlier, it's the start of change. It's not going to happen overnight. But we need people in power to acknowledge that there's problems and get plans in place to start changing things.
Okay. Wow. That's Kirby. And Kirby, tell them again what group you were with.
Parents for Occupy Wall Street.
Parents for Occupy Wall Street. Kirby, thank you so much for stopping by tonight. We really appreciate you giving us an update of what's going on the ground down there at Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, and again, don't believe me. Come down for yourself.
Okay. We'll do it. Thank you, Kirby.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Kirby, y'all. She told us what's going on down there on Occupy Wall Street. I thank her so much for calling in. We just made that connection today, and I'm so glad she did stop by. Okay, we're going to go to area code. Actually, your call is blocked, so we're going to go to 1111111. Good evening. You're on Center Stage. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Am I the caller with the blocked number?
Yes, ma'am. You are the caller with the blocked number.
Well, my name is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Hello. I there's a website. We are the 99%.tumblr.com.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think folk in America, actually worldwide, should go to that website. And read the letters of these folk, and I think that it will let you know what the protest is about on Wall Street. I don't think that it's a willy-nilly agenda. I think it's very clear what the problems are and what they are talking about. But your guest made a statement. She said that Wall Street is not to blame, and I think that's not factual. There's a lot of evidence that states Wall Street is to blame. One thing they did, they had tried for years, was to deregulate the banking system and that occurred. And she said that Wall Street got in this trouble because of people getting loans, and I'm assuming she's talking about housing loans,
mm-hmm.
that they could not afford.
Mm-hmm.
But she fails to realize, or she failed to state the other side of that coin,
mm-hmm.
which is the bankers packaged these loans. They
mm-hmm.
made money and telling the brokers, go just give anybody a loan. And they packaged these loans and sold them all over the world. They even sold them to retirement funds, pension funds here in this country. So I think they bear a lot of the burden because they may have operated within the law, but what they did was just absolutely, I don't even know how to describe it, but they are a part of the problem. So for her to say that the Occupy Wall Street movement is in the wrong place, I think is incorrect.
Okay. Tell us again why you're part of the movement.
I am not a part. I'm a part of the movement in Texas where I live.
Okay.
So we need to have these issues on the table if we're going to move forward.
And your issue, because everybody seems to have a different issue, what is your issue?
Well, what do you mean, what is my issue concerning
It's because, you know, the teachers are the budget with the school system is being slashed, high unemployment, you know, health care issues. Everybody seems to have a different issue, and I was just asking what was your reason for protesting?
My issue is all of the above you mentioned and
mm-hmm.
some more.
Okay, gotcha.
Because all of those issues affect every last one of us, including your guests.
Absolutely.
So if we have the bottom 99% that's suffering,
mm-hmm.
how I don't understand how the 1% can think that they can continue in raking in all of the money that they do.
Mm.
Our tax bases are just in shambles because folk don't have property tax money.
Mm-hmm.
They're not earning monies to pay more taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the issues you just mentioned
mm-hmm.
are a problem. So
I think
I'm
Mr. Van Jones said down there this week that he wanted to be clear. These bankers look down on us. They say that we should be rich like them, but everyone would be broke and homeless if we had not bailed them out. So now we're here to bail ourselves out, to bail out the teachers, to bail out the children, to bail out the farmers, to bail out the incarcerated, to bail out the nurses, to bail out the librarians, to bail out the veterans, to bail out the people that the politicians have sold out. People are asking what we're here to get. They don't understand. We're not here to get anything. Would you agree with that?
You said a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Where I stand is that our rules and regulations have to be changed to
mm-hmm.
make this a country, a world,
mm-hmm.
where everyone can feel at peace
mm-hmm.
and comfortable. So that's where I stand. I don't have solutions for that. I can't. If I do, this is such a short span of time to put those issues on the table. But we're fighting a huge beast, and that beast is white supremacy. That's huge because in that tradition, I would even call it, because that's what we as black folk know, we have to deal with that, wrestle it to the ground. Like I heard one of your callers earlier say that your guest, she may be saying, well, she's not racist or prejudiced in any kind of way, but yet she still benefits from white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of white folk and others, even some blacks,
mm-hmm.
believe that black people and non-white folk have overcome in this world, and we haven't. There's too much evidence to show that that's the case. So with the protests today, around the world, in this country, it's bringing to light that something has to be done with the policies, procedures, regulations, the laws, because all of us are suffering,
wow,
even those who have it all.
I agree. Well, thank you, caller. I appreciate you telling us what you were down there or are protesting for. I appreciate you so much. Listen, we're down to our last 5 minutes in the show, y'all. This has been very interesting. Learned a lot about why they're down there and what's going on or going on down on Occupy Wall Street or went on the Wall Street. I'm sorry, y'all. It's late. I'm at a loss here. They're calling it the Occupy Wall Street movement. So we just found out from Kirby what's going on down there, and we got a little better understanding. I appreciate her so much because, like I said, we made that connection today, and she did as she told me she would do, and that's call in and tell us what was going on down there on the ground. I don't know what the answers are, y'all. I think this is not a show that we can come to a conclusion in 2 hours, but I did my best to inform you of what I knew about the Occupy Wall Street movement going on in Manhattan, down in Zuccotti Park, where they were almost evicted this week, and Mayor Bloomberg did back down and did allow them to stay. They did their own cleanup. It was all about the cleanup down there. They did their own cleanup, and so therefore they are allowed to stay another day. I need for Miss Carmel Johnson to get on the phone. She's got an announcement for us, and then we're going to move on and get out of here. She's going to tell us about a rally that they've got coming up. If she's not on the phone line, if she would, press 1. If she is already on the phone line, if she's not, if you would, please get on there. Listen, y'all, if y'all got any more comments, let me know if you want this conversation to continue. I think I said all I know. I researched it really hard this week. I tried to give you everything I got about who was down there, what was going on down there, who said what, who did what. I tried to put it out there tonight. Besides that, I want to thank Ms. Thelma Tormina with the 912 Group for being my guest tonight. She took a lot of heat, y'all. Thank you, Thelma. You took a lot of heat from the callers. And then, y'all, I just question whether people look at it like I do. I can be black and I can talk and have friends and have relationships and associations with people that are not black, because I think we got to do that if we're all going to get along. And I hope that my listening audience will not just be black people or not just be, you know, a certain group of people, that I will have all types of people listening, because I do shows that affect us all. I don't do just shows that are one-sided for one group of people and not ever connecting with the other groups. So I want you all to know that when I do what I do, that's my intention, is to draw an audience that's just bigger than the group in which I am a part of. Also, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or the host. I still don't see Ms. Camille Johnson on the phone line. If she is, she needs to press 1, or we got to get out of here, y'all. Listen, it's been a great evening. I hope everybody was as informed as I am. We're going to try to take it out tonight with Mr. Dietrich Haddon singing to us a Change Will Come. Let's see if I can bring that up. But, again, if you're interested in additional dialogue about this particular subject, drop me an email and let me know that you want it to continue. I would love to have heard from more protesters down there on Occupy Wall Street, but it just didn't happen tonight. I don't know why a lot of them are so distrusting of the media, and that may be from previous experience. I don't know. But, you know, as you all know, this show is live. 5 minutes after it's over, it goes into podcast. It's unedited. So I don't twist the words of anybody. What I do is just put the information out there, and then we go from there. So I guess maybe from them being down there almost a month now, maybe they found that to be a different experience. I don't know. But I'm going to try to leave you with Mr. Dietrich Haddon with A Change Is Gonna Come, an old Donny Hathaway song that I really enjoyed when I found it this week. And I'm going to try to bring it to you if my computer will cooperate tonight. We're going to try to see if we can go out with Dietrich singing A Change Will Come. Okay, y'all, here we go.
like that.